Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Hope you had a great Mother's Day.
Two days ago. It's over. It's over now.
2 days ago and not in 2 days when we're recording this.
I had the best Mother's Day ever. I'm Erin.
I'm Tom.
And this is Baby's First Watch List, the podcast that is a trash liberal podcast, according to the one comment on Instagram.
Yeah, shout out to that Instagram commenter who called us a trash liberal podcast for having a level-headed thought about the Iron Claw.
It was just like regular analysis about the Iron Claw. But, okay. So, that is not what I wrote. I said, watching all the movies you need to see. And obviously, that includes Mother's Day Classic. And I truly think it is because
Mother's Day Classic.
It was released in May.
100% it was a Mother's Day movie. 2019.
Yeah.
100% it was a Mother's Day movie.
It's 2019's Ma. Written by Scotty Landis, who doesn't have a Wikipedia page. It was directed by Tate Taylor, who does have a Wikipedia page. He is most known for directing the movie The Help.
Allison Janney, who works with him a lot, said that making a movie with Tate Taylor is like going to summer camp.
So it's fun. She's in a ton of his movies.
She is.
Including this one.
She is.
And Octavia Spencer's in a ton of his movies too.
Including this one.
And Get On Up.
And The Help.
Yeah, exactly. So do you know he's in this movie as an actor?
He is? No, I didn't know that.
He plays one of the officers.
Oh, okay.
I think probably the one at the end.
The one, yeah.
That's my guess. So he said that he made Ma and wanted to make Ma after wanting to do something messed up,
yeah,
which is not the words he used. And this movie is definitely different from others in his filmography, for sure.
Can I tell you what I heard about how this movie came about?
Yes.
So, Adam Devine.
Yes.
Of Workaholics, Pitch Perfect, yep, blah, 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 a lot of stuff.
Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates.
The Righteous Gemstones.
Oh, yeah.
He went on Theo Vaughn's podcast.
Okay.
And he said he's friends with Scotty Landis. And he told Theo Vaughn that this movie was a story that happened, something similar happened to him when he was younger. And he told Scotty Landis about it. And Scotty Landis was like, I'm going to make that into a movie.
Like, so, a woman that invited him and his friends to her house and was weird or something?
So he said he met a woman who would buy them beer and like make them drink at her apartment so that she could like, you know, keep them safe or whatever. And told them to call her mom. And at one point, he had to lay down because he was been drinking too much. And the woman put him in a bed. And then he heard the woman telling her real daughter to get into bed with him. And his friends like got him out of there. And that was like an experience that he had that inspired this movie, which is something that is on the table for this movie.
That is crazy.
That experience. So this was
inspired by Adam Devine.
Yeah. I don't think I would have been able to watch this movie if I were him, if that was a real thing that I experienced.
So Ma stars Octavia Spencer.
Who's all in.
Who is so good in this.
She is great in this.
She's so good.
She said that she had trouble, not that she had trouble being cast, but she didn't like a lot of the roles that she was getting because she said she kind of felt that she was being typecast.
And I kind of agree, even in the roles that she was getting a lot of acclaim for.
Yeah, and like Hidden Figures and stuff like that. Yeah, she said that she wanted something that was going to break that whole thing. So her and Tate Taylor were kind of like,
really
let's figure something out for you.
I think this might be my favorite performance I've ever seen her in.
She's really good in everything I've seen her in, but
she's lovely.
This is, you could tell she's having a ton
of fun. So she is actually an Oscar winner and a 3-time nominee overall. She won for The Help. And then she was nominated 2 years in a row.
Was she nominated for The Shape of Water?
Yes. She was nominated 2 years in a row for Hidden Figures and then The Shape of Water. And so, to be honest with you, I don't disagree with her trying to, like, she kind of was starting to be typecast into a certain supporting role.
She talked about how much she loves genre movies. And she was like, I just wanted to do something that was just going to totally take me out of something that you've, you know, I wanted to do something that you've never seen me do before.
And I love that.
Yeah.
I really, really love that. That's kind of like Anne Hathaway doing that romantic comedy that's like a fan fiction that just came out. Like, I love that stuff where someone who, Jennifer Lawrence doing No Hard Feelings this year. I really like when people, Emma Stone with anything that she does, like doing the show with Nathan Fielder. Like, I like when people go off the board a little bit.
Emma Stone will not let you pigeonhole her.
No, never. Oh, goodness. So Octavia Spencer also has a BAFTA. She's a Golden Globe, and she's been nominated for an Emmy pretty recently in 2020. Ma also stars Juliette Lewis, who actually has a lot more accolades than you might assume.
Did she win an Oscar? I know she was
nominated for an Oscar for Cape Fear. She, of course, was in Christmas Vacation.
Yes.
She was in What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Emmy nominations.
She's twice Emmy nominated, not for Yellow Jackets.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she was also in Natural Born Killers. That's right. A big one. She's also a singer. She's been around for a very, very long time, since the early 90s. Late 80s.
Yeah, she's great.
And she's really good in this, I thought.
I wish there was more of her, I think.
Yeah.
But she was great in the time. I thought there was going to be more of her.
She completely fits that part.
100%.
Yeah. And then it stars Diana Silvers, and Diana does not seem like it's the name of a young girl. Yeah,
a young 5'10" girl.
Yeah. So she's from Booksmart, and she was in the show Space Force.
Yes.
So this is in 2019, this is what she was up to. There's also some great little bit parts, particularly by Missy Pyle.
Oh, man, and she's great.
She's so good. And Allison Janney.
She hams it up.
Oh,
both
my
of them
God.
Do.
Both of them
I was
do.
Referring to Missy Pyle, but both of them do.
It's so funny. Like, at first, I didn't realize it was Allison Janney.
I literally said, this is Allison Janney. You know, can we have Allison Janney? No, we have Allison Janney at home. And then it turns out it was Allison Janney.
It was actually her. And she's great.
Yeah.
And it's fun to see Octavia Spencer and her together. They did act together in The Help.
This is our second, like, weird, strange Allison Janney role in the last, like, month, because we did 10 Things I Hate About You not too long ago.
She's such a queen. And I love that she does these little ones, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know? She's awesome. Oh, and Octavia Spencer and Allison Janney did Mom together, too.
Yeah.
Ma and Mom.
Yep.
Mom is the CBS show that Allison Janney and Anna Faris starred in. So Ma was released in May 2019, right around Mother's Day time. I think it was a little bit after Mother's Day, close enough.
May 31st.
Yeah. And it was a pretty big commercial success, actually. It made $61.2 million.
Listen, people love a horror movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And it was only a $5 million budget, which...
Yeah, I mean, think about it. What did they really do?
I mean, you got the star power with Octavia Spencer, so...
You pay Octavia Spencer... You probably pay Janney because she was coming off the Oscar win. Like, but it's Tate Taylor, so who knows how much you actually even
probably
got paid
not
for
much,
it.
Honestly, because it's a very small part.
And, like, you get, you know, it's kids hanging out in a basement for most of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You got, there's some fire at the end. There's not a ton going on in this movie that you might, need, like, a huge budget.
Totally. So it did receive mixed reviews critically. I think it has, like, around a 55% on Rotten Tomatoes, a little bit higher for the audience score. Although I gotta say, I don't necessarily disagree with some of the criticisms.
I was gonna say, I have a mixed review.
Yeah, I liked it. I would give it a positive review. But some of the mixed review stuff, I'm like, yeah, I could see that. But it has...
Don't get me wrong. If this is on TV, I'm putting it on.
Ma's going on.
It's not a bad... It's not
Ma is going on.
Yeah.
But it has gained a cult following since its release. So, obviously, if you have been on Twitter the past...
Five years.
You have seen a couple of scenes or a GIF that is very popular with from
like Octavia Spencer hiding behind the wall.
Yes.
Like looking at what's going on so behind the wall.
And it truly has started to have a cult following bubble up. So people are, you know.
Loving Ma.
They're loving Ma a little bit. So that's what I got from Ma.
All right. Why don't we jump into the taglines?
Okay.
There's two.
And the first one's really good.
The first one is Get Home Safe, and that's the one that's on the main poster.
It's good stuff.
It's got the double entendre working.
Yeah.
It's like her whole, you know, get home safe kind of thing, but also get home safe, because this is a slasher movie, kind of. And then the second one is just, Welcome to Maz.
I don't like that one as much. Oh, my gosh.
Welcome to Maz. What is it? It's like a diner.
Yeah.
Then we'll just jump into a brief synopsis, which is just a lonely woman, played by Octavia Spencer, Ma, befriends a group of teenagers and decides to let them party at her house just when the kids think their luck couldn't get any better. Things start happening that make them question the intention of their host.
Mm-hmm.
All true. All true words right there.
It is.
So what do you think of the cast in general. There's a lot of characters in this movie.
There's actually a lot of characters. It's the anti anyone but you.
Yeah, which we talked about last week.
Which I didn't like that there weren't that many characters. You know what? I got to be honest. I'm okay with the characters here because with there being a lot. I feel like I remembered everybody. Everybody was distinct from each other. I had no trouble following along with all the different things, all the different people in it.
Okay, so just as a recap, we've got Octavia Spencer. We've got Diana Silvers, who played Maggie. We've got Juliette Lewis, who played Maggie's mom, Erica.
Yep.
We've got... some of the other kids who are Haley, Andy, Chaz, Daryl are the kids. We have Jeannie, who is Ma's daughter.
Yep.
We have Ben, who's played by Luke Evans, who is Andy's dad. And Missy Pyle, Mercedes, who is Luke Evans or Ben's new wife or girlfriend?
Girlfriend. But she went to... All the adults went to school together.
Right. So they were for a group of friends and they knew... Sue Ann, a.k.a. Ma, in high school. And there was like a really messed up event that they all took part in that Sue Ann was the victim of. And so the whole movie is essentially, it essentially boils down to like the sins of the father are inflicted upon the kids because Sue Ann is, while she wants to befriend the kids, eventually she just becomes a homicidal maniac.
Yeah, it's kind of really interesting. I know that Taylor originally he said that Ma didn't have a backstory.
Yeah.
And so Sue Ann, there was no backstory to her, but he felt like she wasn't very sympathetic.
He said
that is to the strength of the movie that she is so sympathetic to the viewer.
One of the more interesting parts of this movie is how sympathetic she is. And Octavia Spencer also said that the character was she helped write and come up with the character. And they sort of conformed it around her once they knew that she was going to be the star.
There is a really interesting kind of element there where she does experience this traumatic event when she's a teenager that she's assaulted, basically. And it's part of a prank that these other kids went along with or perpetrated.
And it's also a part of a pattern of bullying.
And it, yes, and it connects to this pattern of bullying where she... is they're like kind of being nice to her, but even she knows that they're really not.
Yeah.
And it's really for no reason that we know of, but let's face it. She is the only black student that we see. And just like her daughter and Daryl are the only black students that we see. It's this kind of rural town in Ohio.
Yeah.
So there is a little bit of a, societal message there, even though the movie does not touch upon race very much.
Well, I think that's probably a good thing because it's not written or directed by a black person. So.
Right. But I know that some of the reviews thought of that as almost a negative to
brush
it under the rug a little bit.
I can see that too.
So it is really interesting to see how her experience, you're really, really sympathetic to her and you... are not okay with any of the things that she does, but to
it's disproportionate.
It's completely
let's
disproportionate.
Just say we'll get to some of the stuff,
but you can absolutely understand why she, as an adult, wants to be cool and wants these kids to think that she's cool.
Yeah,
and how she can sort of misread social cues even as an adult here because she goes too hard.
Well, and then it also ties in with the fact that she is essentially. You know, Jeannie, her daughter, is going through Munchausen by proxy because she's like trying to tell her that she's sick and she's giving her medication and all this stuff. And it's just her sense of wanting someone to respect her and to
be able to control.
And she's doing that by controlling someone who clearly is not a willing participant and doesn't even think that she's sick because she's not sick. Ma is a really interesting and multifaceted character, more so than you probably would think if you watch the trailer or something like that.
Yep, and Octavia Spencer plays her so well
because she's known it's subverting the typecast because she's typecast as being somebody who is sweet and nurturing and all that, and you see
and
her
also
in this.
Just flat out funny. Like
and
a
funny.
Lot of her roles, she's the comic relief a little bit,
and she's funny in this at times.
Oh, very much so.
Like in an over the top way.
She's a great comic timing.
Yeah. I thought that she was awesome in this, but I can totally see people criticizing the writing for not going there.
Mm-hmm.
The problem being that I don't know if I would want this combination of people to
are
go
the,
there.
Right, exactly. Are the people to tell that story?
Yeah.
I understand.
It would be one thing if, like, Octavia Spencer was a co-writer mm-hmm. or something like that, you know, or if they had a different writer or whatever. But, mm-hmm. I don't know if they could have handled, because think about the reaction to the help.
Yeah, totally.
Like, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know if Tate Taylor has that in him necessarily.
Yeah.
And nor should he. It's not his experience, right. You know. Right. What did you think of the, so there's kind of two separate storylines mm-hmm. that, you know, one informs the other and they kind of intertwine. There's the parent storyline and there's the kid storyline. Did you think that one was stronger than the other, or maybe that one that the cast was stronger or?
Well, it's very clear that this director works really well with actors. The actors want to work for him because the cast for the adults is really great.
His regulars.
Yeah. It's some of his regulars and then some other people that are just really great.
I want to say Luke Evans was in something of his too.
I really liked him in this too. He's probably best known for being Gaston in the live action Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
That's how I recognized him immediately in the movie, and I was like, that's Luke Evans.
He was also Jason Statham's brother in Fast and Furious.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was the villain of Fast and Furious 6.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's funny. So I thought that he was really well cast. And I think that the adults were cast really well.
He's another dude because you see him in roles like the villain in Fast and Furious 6 and as Gaston, and you could totally see him being a bully.
Yes.
When he was a kid, you know?
But he's even likable in this movie too because he defends his son and you feel sympathetic for him because his wife has passed. And so so you kind of see how his motivations too.
Yeah.
Of course, that doesn't get rid of the bullying that he did with Sue Ann when he was a kid. But also at the same point, not to the level that he bullies, but you can totally see how people as adults in their 40s or 50s or whatever, that they're very much removed from how they behaved as a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see how that can, you can change, but sometimes not change. It's really interesting.
He also manipulates her in a different way.
He does.
In this movie, when he invites her out on mm-hmm. a date, only to tell her that he's been tracking her because he was wondering where his son was. You know, he was tracking his son.
And here there's an actual reason why.
Because
his
son.
He's using the same tactic he used back when he was 16, where he was torturing her for no reason.
Right.
That's good.
So it's a kind of a through line from his child life to his adult life and the dynamic between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
He was also, I just looked it up, he was also in The Girl on the Train, which Tate Taylor did.
Yep.
Along with Allison Janney.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a repeat Taylor guy. Taylor gang.
Taylor gang. The kids, you know, are coming into their own. I really like the lead.
Yeah, I thought that she was really good. Diana Silvers.
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't mind the other kids. You weren't as enamored.
I thought that they were not very good. I kind of liked Haley, the other girl, because she played like that, almost like a Miley Cyrus type character.
Yeah, kind of, actually, yeah.
I didn't find the boys to be anything special. I confused the Chaz and Andy constantly.
Oh, really?
Also, the fact that their names are Chaz and Andy.
Chaz is just...
What else do we got? Oh, okay, so I have another question for you. Other than some of the slasher murderer logic that happens, that's how it is in all these types of movies. What would you say is the most unrealistic part of this movie? You mentioned one thing.
What did I mention?
All right, so I have a couple things for you. Number one, is it that they immediately take her up on her offer to come in the basement?
No, it's not, because teenagers sometimes would do something. Adam Devine did stuff like that. I feel like depending on the type of kid, it's yeah, cool, free house. And, you know, they don't have to worry about the cops bugging them. And
she'd been nice to them earlier.
Yeah, and they get, they're able to party and whatever. So, honestly, no, it does not surprise me.
All right, number two. Is it that one of the kids' names is Chaz?
That is actually very surprising to me.
Chaz.
Yeah, Chaz.
No disrespect to any Chaz is listening.
No, it's just not something that
a teenager in 2019.
No.
Yeah.
That's one. And then the other
thing. The third one. Go for it.
She's just giving them alcohol on school property?
No. But yeah, that too. That's not the one that I had.
What did you have?
The one that I had is that it's 2019 and these kids have Facebooks.
Oh, yeah, that was it. I did mention that. Yeah, she found all of them on Facebook. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No. The 16-year-olds do not have Facebook in 2019. That's exactly what it is.
And it was like an active Facebook that was being updated and they were like posting.
Yeah, that's a hard no.
There's a part in this movie, and it was the first part of this movie that made me go like, what is going on here?
So much.
And it's when they're in the basement for the first time. And
oh, this was
it Chaz?
Yeah.
That says he like steps to her.
Yeah, he like wants to fight.
He's
Ma.
Like, you don't even have a cool basement.
Yeah, like what?
And she's like, what? And then she pulls a gun on him.
Yeah.
She makes him get naked.
Yeah. And then she's like, ha ha.
Yeah. And he's standing there naked, like covering himself. And she has a gun on him. And all the kids are like, what is happening here? And then she's like, ha ha, just kidding.
Yeah. And then even Chaz is like, good one, Ma.
Right.
Like, what?
And then she goes and makes them pizza rolls. Ma made pizza rolls.
Oh, she did make
pizza
rolls.
Which is a great reference.
Yeah. Yeah, she did make them pizza rolls.
Yeah. What did you think of the flashbacks? It made me
so sad.
We get them sort of periodically.
Stories like that truly make me so sad.
Yeah, so you get a little bit of her talking to like Juliette Lewis's character, Erica, and a little bit of her talking to Ben, who is Luke Evans'
and Mercedes,
character.
And who's Mercedes, who's Missy Pyle, yeah.
And you know it's not going anywhere good.
No.
And then it goes probably worse than you would have thought.
I was shook, yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know. I thought it added some emotion and it added some background to the character, but it was also... The structure of it, at least, was pretty predictable. Like, you knew it wasn't ending well.
100%.
I don't want to say it could have been mostly cut, but I think I would have maybe done it. I don't know. I feel like there's probably a more efficient way to do it. It kind of, like, took me out of the main... I think it messed with the pacing.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the problems I had with the movie, which is why it wasn't a perfect 10, is the pacing felt off. Like, there would be these crazy scenes, like, a little tiny peek into it, and then it would be... Like it would drop the energy for a little bit. And then
it's like Maggie and Andy arguing.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't care.
So I agree that the flashbacks did feel a little bit like a lot of time.
Yeah.
And it could have been done a little more tactfully.
And it's kind of like we know where we're
going.
We
know what's happening. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It was like one too many flashbacks.
Yeah. Maybe that's it. Maybe it was just too many.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's probably, I tend to find flashbacks to be a lazy way of exposition.
Yeah.
But I think that when you're doing something that is like a direct comparison of like high school then versus high school now, I can understand why they would choose that route.
Yeah.
Instead of like finding like an old newspaper article about the time that, what I mean?
Right.
Like I get the idea. I just don't think it quite landed for me.
I also thought there was like one too many like vet scenes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't
she
know
worked
that
at the
we,
vet.
Yeah, I don't know that we needed all the vet stuff.
Once we established that she could get drugs from there that were sedating people, I think we just needed that one.
Right.
Unless they were going to go there for some reason.
Right.
But they didn't.
No.
No one ended up at the vet.
No.
Except for Ben the one time when he met up with her to ask her on the date to then say, hey, I've been tracking you. Why is my son at your house?
Right.
Or he was tracking Ben or Andy, actually. It was like, why is my truck at your house?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, all this being said, there's a world where I said this to you during the movie. There's a world where this is like a heartwarming family comedy and it's like a Robin Williams feature.
Yeah.
Like there's something about this movie and it probably has to do with Octavia Spencer and her nature and how like her acting style. It just feels like we are like less trauma and, you know, a little bit of a twist away from kind of almost a Mrs. Doubtfire-y kind of deal. And that's almost what makes this really good because it could have gone so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But in this universe, Ma's nuts, bro.
Ma is nuts.
Why don't we just jump into what's the best Ma moment?
There's so many good Ma moments.
All right, for the record, I wrote this down and I had 4.
Okay.
I ended up with 13 by the end of the movie.
You have the one with Chaz at the beginning, right?
No.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, I wrote the gun. That's the one I'm talking about. Yep. Yeah. I also have buying them alcohol unprompted and leaving it under the car wheel well in the parking lot of the school.
Yeah, that's So bad.
Remember when she fought the lady at the pedicure place?
Oh yeah, that was so random.
So she was on the, she was watching a video that Maggie was sending, or that Haley was sending around.
Yeah, that she was like, "Hey guys, block Ma."
Because Ma's throwing parties for the whole school.
Yeah.
So, so Haley is like ending it because they she's weird and everything, and she's watching it in the pedicure plate, in like the spa or whatever. And the old lady next to her is like, "Can you please turn it down?"
And then it turns real nasty, real fast Ma, between the two of them.
Ma pops off. I love Ma. when. Is it when she asks the kids not to let her drink alone and that she doesn't care if it's a school night or that they have homework?
Yeah, what the heck?
Is it her hat that she wears to the party that says sexy in rhinestones?
She wore a couple of questionable hats.
She did.
Which is like part of the she's very right. out of touch.
Right. It's a how do you do fellow kids moment.
Yes.
What about when she asked them to meet at the rock pile after school and told them that she had cancer so that they would talk to her again?
Yeah, that's sad.
It is sad. A lot of this movie is really sad.
Well, and that is a really a reference to her kind of Munchausen by proxy, too, yeah. where it's like she knows that her daughter's not sick.
And she knows that Andy is at least a person that is going to sympathize with that because his mom had recently died of cancer.
Exactly. And that he can make the connection of like, oh, and he does in the movie where he's like, well, yeah, Ma acts a little strange, but my mom did too.
Right. It's what the medication does or mm-hmm. whatever he said.
Which is very smart on Ma's part.
Yeah. What about running down Missy Pyle with her car, calling her the effing C word, and then immediately blasting September by Earth, Wind, and Fire in the car?
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That may be my favorite moment. That's the iconic moment.
That's the moment that you see the clips on the most.
Yes.
That's the one that I think everyone on the internet has seen.
Yeah.
And that's one that it's like, that's the boom, things are about to turn into like campy craziness.
Yeah, which I wish there was more of.
I wish there was more of it in the first 2/3
yeah.
of the movie.
Yeah. Is it doing what she did to Ben with the dog blood?
Yeah, that's weird too.
She like hooks him up to an IV with dog blood yeah. in it and like calls him a dog and like
kills him and
like has the IV putting dog blood into his veins.
Yeah.
And then she is torturing the kids.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And she like irons Chaz's stomach.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And she's sewing Haley's mouth shut. Yeah.
Oh my god.
And then the cop shows up. Which I guess is Tate Taylor.
And she kills the cop.
She just kills the cop, which is Misery vibes.
It is like Misery.
There's
for
a bunch
sure.
of stuff in this movie that seems like a Misery reference,
mm-hmm.
which we covered way back in the day.
That's a great movie, too.
Love Misery. yeah, so that's what I have. Oh, wait, no, I have one last one, which is the ending. Is the best Ma moment her going all the way upstairs and no selling a butcher knife to the back yeah. to die with Ben in the house as the house burns down?
That's pretty bad, too.
That was a Ma moment. Hashtag Ma moment.
I think the best Ma moment is that September plays.
Like, it's blasting. She just starts yeah. blasting it.
Yeah, I think that's after she murders, and it's just Earth, Wind, and Fire.
But only for, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It doesn't play the song, you know what I mean? Like, right. It's not playing over. It just...
But you know like, what it is.
And then right to the next scene.
Yeah, that's probably it. I also think... The other one is just when she goes like, "Hey, can you meet me at the rock piles after school?" I just...
It's like, "Hey, can you meet me at the flagpole?"
Ma, you're in your 50s, bro.
Yeah, Ma, she's...
I also think the fact that she's Ma
yeah,
is so good.
That she makes them call her Ma.
Yeah.
And then she's just Ma the whole movie.
She's just Ma. Yeah. And and the kids will be like, "Ma is so crazy.
Ma is so annoying." Ma texted me a billion times yesterday.
Oh, yeah, and that's it too. Like, she'll text each person like a lot. And then they just like video chat.
Oh, yeah. But they video chat where it's like posted to everybody.
Yeah, they video text.
Right.
Like, it's not like, it's not realistic.
No.
Not that it's supposed to be.
No. I also love that when she has the first like big party and she wears the sexy rhinestones yeah. hat, she uses it as an excuse. It's like a really sad scene. She like uses it as an excuse to dress in like her old gear.
Yeah.
You know? And she's like dancing to Funky Town.
Yeah.
And they're doing like Jello shots or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, "I don't drink." And, you know, she's like putting stuff in everything, and that's when you first realize that there's something upstairs, because like Jeannie like falls over or something, or makes a bump and she runs upstairs.
Yeah.
she, I also love the girl who pretends to be passed out at all the parties.
Ashley.
That's a great concept. She pretends to be passed out at all the parties, so it looks like she's a partier, even though she doesn't drink.
Yeah.
And then she kind of becomes part of the crew at the end.
She does a little bit. Yeah.
Survives the trauma at the end.
I like that they didn't kill off the kids.
No, they were.
I thought Ma meant business.
She did stab Andy. I thought he was.
Yeah, that was
die.
Crazy.
She like. Yeah.
Ma takes a turn.
Ma, in the last 25 minutes, I would say.
It's truly crazy.
It's nuts.
Well, and this is something. Ma's rated R.
Yes.
Like, I expected more Megan vibes, like a PG-13 kind of. Like, oh, campy fun, but still pretty tame. It's really not.
There's frontal nudity.
Yeah, it is. It's really intense.
And we watched the version that was on FX.
Yeah.
The TVMA version, but
so I think that it's interesting that they chose to go that route for a something that was definitely aiming to be commercially successful, you know, and by having
and was
it's not as hardcore as like a Saw movie. Or
No. Well, I mean, like the Iron thing was kind of messed up. There's some messed up stuff.
And
the scene with the dog blood's messed up.
Yeah, a lot of it is.
It's not quite Hostile or.
Hey, that's what I'm
like
saying.
That.
That's what I'm saying. It's still, for the most part, pretty watchable by people who aren't super. I'm not really into that horror gore stuff. It was a lot more than I expected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ma goes hard, man.
She does.
Ma goes hard. So, parenting-wise, I have two parenting questions for you.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? I'll just fold them into one. So, for Mother's Day, I want you to rank the moms. So, we're going to go with Ma.
Yeah, she's probably last.
We're going to go with Erica.
Okay.
I'm going to put Mercedes here as like a stepmom character. Because we don't really...
Yeah.
And I'm going to go with Dr. Brooks / Allison Janney.
As a dog mom?
Well, we aren't sure if she's a mom here, but she was in Mom.
Yeah.
And she won the Oscar for being the mom in I, Tonya.
Okay.
So I would like you to rank those four.
Okay. Well, everybody has work to do.
Yes.
First of all, I'm going to put Ma's the worst mom.
Ma's got to be the worst
because
mom.
Of the Munchausen's by proxy is pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
And, you know, the being murderous and all the other stuff in the party house. It's just bad. So I'm going to put her last.
Ma's got a body count. We can't.
She can't be any higher.
She
than,
just can't be higher than that.
Than last. Then I'm going to say Missy Pyle's Mercedes. We don't know a lot about her, but we do know that Andy, possible future stepson, hates her.
He does.
He's even said something really mean about her.
He does.
So I'm gonna go Missy Pyle, Mercedes above Ma, but okay. Still
clearing the astronomically low bar of Ma being last.
Then, although we don't know if Allison Janney's character's a mom as a to see representative of the dogs and stuff, let's put her above Mercedes because she is a vet that seems to be a very respected vet because everyone goes to her.
Yeah, Ben goes to her.
Yeah. So
Ma kills her, by the way.
Yeah, she doesn't make it out of there.
She doesn't make it out of this movie.
And then first is Erica, because I do think that she, Juliette Lewis's character, does want a good life for her and her daughter.
She's trying.
She's really trying. She unfortunately has to like take on extra shifts so she can't go to like the music festival.
I thought you were about to curse on this podcast.
No, extra shifts. So she can't go to the music festival with her daughter that they'd planned to go to, whatever. That being said, Erica really needs to understand that if you are concerned about what she was concerned about with Ma, what she should have called the police.
Yes, there's a very...
Much earlier.
There's a lack of... any sort of, other than Ben trying to basically do vigilante justice,
right?
There's a lack of anything, any support really happening from the adults in this movie.
So she needed to, I think, contact the authorities earlier when she learned about what Sue Ann was doing.
And she did, and that man didn't make it out either.
Yeah. So that's my ranking.
I think
do you agree?
I think that's the correct ranking.
I think so. I don't think that was particularly hard.
No, I don't think so either. All right, so if we add in parents in general, where does Ben fit in?
Oh, that's hard. So I would put him below Erica, but above the vet that we don't even know is a mom.
And above Mercedes and above Ma.
Yeah. Like, he's got to be above Ma. Ma literally kills him. So she, like,
she has like, that automatically qualifies her as below. So you put Ben below Erica. I guess yeah. that's the real debate.
As here. A parent. Yeah. Because he is looking out for the best interest of his son by
But also he at least tries.
He tries. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And Erica didn't try till the end.
She got Stuart to come.
She did. Stuart, her buddy from work.
Casino. Like, he's at least trying to, you know, defend his son and make sure that he's doing okay. Doesn't turn out very well, but there's an attempt. And that's not to say that he was a good guy. Because he was clearly was not when he was in high school.
I'm talking ranking them as parents, not as people. Yeah. Ma would still be at the bottom.
Ma's at the bottom.
She's the only one that's murdered like four people.
And kept her daughter like in a torture chamber. Right. Like awful. So yeah, that's my ranking.
Okay, I think that's fair.
I think so too. I think
that's the right ranking. What did you think of the ending? So the ending is when she's torturing all the kids and then they get out. I forget how they get out. Genie. Oh, because Genie helps. Yeah.
Yeah, Genie helps them.
Genie, you know, bonks Ma over the head was it the cat thing? The
I
cat
think so.
Statue.
And then Juliet Lewis and Stuart come and let the kids out of the basement.
But first, Ma, when she was torturing them, had some candles lit.
Yeah.
Which then ended up igniting the basement.
Yep. And that's when Ma gets stabbed.
She gets stabbed.
No sells it, like you said.
She gets stabbed by Maggie. Who's like, I'm not my mom.
Yeah.
But then stabs her?
Well, meaning that she was going to defend Jeannie when Erica should have defended Sue Ann when she was a teen.
Right.
And so it's like she's saying, I'm not my mom. Like, I know that my mom let you down.
Right.
But I'm not going to let your daughter down.
Right. Okay.
That's.
Okay. And then she stabs her. Yeah. Like 3 inches of a butcher knife into her stomach.
Yeah.
Or her side, rather. And Ma, she no-sells it.
She just acts like nothing happened.
And instead of like running out of the house or whatever, she just goes upstairs, crawls into bed with the corpse of Ben.
Yeah.
And as far as we know,
that's the end of Ma.
That's the end of Ma. However, there was an alternate ending that I watched on YouTube. And it takes place directly after those events. And the kids are at school and they're hanging out outside. I guess school has just ended. And Ashley is with them. She's like in the group now. Right? That's her name, Ashley?
Jeannie?
No, Ashley.
Oh, Ashley. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So they're like all hanging out and they're like, hey, why don't we go to the rock pile and party?
Back to the rock pile.
Yeah. So it turns out that Jeannie's living with Maggie and Erica. So Erica kind of took her in, which is another point to Erica on the on the parent scale. And not that Ben's picking up any more points anyway. So they're partying at the end. And
which I feel like this should have been a maybe we shouldn't party anymore.
No.
That's not the message that they came out with.
No. Jeannie's drinking with them and whatever.
Oh, no, Jeannie.
It's Jeannie's first time with them. So they had to all make a big thing out of it.
Maybe they should have been like, go bowling.
But anyway, they're happy. And then we cut to the vet, and it's Ma walking through the vet, grabbing her her medication, her dog medications that she was using, and we see Dr. Brooks dead in one of the dog cages, which we had seen earlier in the regular movie, but I guess in the alternate
it would have
been the ending. And then we cut to the flashback of young Sue Ann walking out of the like door that she was in during the events, the critical events of the flashback, and that's where it cuts. So the alternate ending set up a sequel to Ma.
Apparently,
the main ending left open a sequel to Ma.
Yeah, because you never know. Apparently, Melissa McCarthy said she wants to do a sequel with Octavia Spencer.
Listen, if Octavia Spencer is going to go back into this role, like Hugh Jackman with Wolverine, I'm in.
We'll watch Ma's.
I'll watch Ma's, yeah.
Ma.
The thing about this movie is that it really does a good job with characterization. So if they could come up with another idea that expands upon characterization and makes it meaningful, I think that I'd be in.
Yeah, of course I would. It's Ma.
I mean, if Octavia's in, I'm in.
Oh, she's the best.
Yeah. So what do you think about the ending? What ending do you prefer?
I like the ending we got, because I like that it could be a period on the end of the story.
Ma period.
Yeah. But
or ma ellipsis.
Or that, right? That's what I like about it. I like horror movies that aren't like automatically, oh, she lived.
Well, it's like the end of, I think, like Freddy versus Jason, which I've never seen, but I, for some reason, I know the ending, where like Freddy dies and like Jason's carrying his head and then Freddy's eye just blinks or like winks or whatever.
You know, I think that I like when there's a little bit more of a, look, this could be the end, but it does leave the door a little ajar in case they want
to. Well, I think that's pragmatic for a movie that is not guaranteed to have a sequel.
Definitely. For sure. And also, I think that it almost feels kind of fresh to have it where it's an ending where Ma doesn't survive. Because since Halloween, that whole trick, oh, the villain's still alive and out there, it's a little overdone at this point.
There's a couple Halloween references in here, too.
Yep.
I definitely think you get the whole like small town vibe.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you get, there's a point where they walk into the room in one of Ma's rooms, and she appears behind, I think it's Maggie, and she like attacks her, which is reminiscent of when Michael Myers pops out of the closet. Oh, it's when she sees Ben, I think, upstairs, and sure. Then she pops out from behind her.
Yeah. And
it's exactly the same as when, you know, Laurie sees whoever it was in the bed.
Yep.
And then Michael Myers appears behind her in the
original
Halloween.
Yeah, definitely some references.
There's homages throughout.
Some stuff, yeah.
My final question is, if you were in a slasher, if you were a character, who would be the scariest actor to be the murderer?
I said Gary Busey.
Gary Busey. Oh, my Lord. He would be, I would not want to be stalked and killed by Gary Busey.
He would be very scary, for sure.
Yeah, I wrote down Brian Cox.
Oh, yeah, he would yell at you.
Kind of unfair because he played Hannibal Lecter in Manhunter in the 80s. I also wrote down Jeremy Strong.
He would be a good one.
Because he would get into it. He would pick one of the Pantheon and method act his way. I would not want to be on set with him.
How about my guy Jeff Goldblum?
Jeff Goldblum, I feel like in your mind, like, is a serial killer.
I just feel like he would be so mad that I don't love him in a lot of things. He'd be like, you really don't like the apartment.com commercials?
Yeah, exactly. He would also be like, what did you think about me in Nashville?
I did. Oh, I mean, no, he was like random in Nashville.
He was like riding his motorcycle.
Yeah.
What did you think about me in Invasion of the Body Snatchers? The remake.
Like, okay. Do you know who else? Kris Jenner.
Kris Jenner? Yeah.
She would be pretty scary.
She would be. Would she? I don't know if she has that dog in her, though.
I think she does.
I don't. I think she would pay somebody to have that dog in the
movie. Maybe.
I wrote down Tom Cruise.
Yeah, he'd be scary.
Like, imagine
I would love to see Tom Cruise as a horror villain.
You're going down. Tom Cruise takes himself way too seriously. That's the problem.
You don't think he would do something like
that? No, I don't think that he would.
Well, what about Tropic Thunder?
Yeah, true. I get, but that was 15 years, 16 years ago now.
So he's due for a nice horror movie.
He's due for a horror movie, I guess. But he doesn't like people laughing at him. Like, because even in the like wacky dumb movies that he's in, like action movies, like he's still cool. He's still the cool guy.
Yeah, because
guy.
He does all the stunts.
Right,
and
which is legitimate. I would legitimately respect that. That's cool. But like, I feel like he won't let himself be the butt of a joke. Almost in the Rock way.
Yeah.
The Rock, I think, is a little bit more, even more sanitized like that in a lot of ways. At least in his movies. And I don't know. The last person I wrote down was Amy Poehler.
Oh, she'd be good.
I don't want to hear the Leslie Knope like laugh like as I'm running down the corridor.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know where she's coming from. She could come out any one of these doors. I don't want to be killed by Leslie Knope. I just don't.
Well, and that's why like casting like Octavia Spencer or Kathy Bates in Misery is so genius, because it's someone that you wouldn't want to be a horror villain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Octavia Spencer would have been on this list for me, most likely, had Ma not existed.
Yeah.
Which is great. Yeah, I think that's might be all I've got on Ma. Ma, there's not a whole lot. Like, Ma, it's take it or leave it.
It's Ma.
Oh, speaking of which, you sent me an article earlier.
Yeah.
And it was from Gawker, RIP Gawker.
Ma Revisited.
I'm not going to read the whole article, but I'm going to point to a part of it.
We're with Io Edebiri?
With Io Edebiri, who's friends with one of the authors of the article. When it comes to discussions of Ma and its cultural impact, there is one voice that has been heard louder than the rest. Comedian and actor Ayo Edebiri said, "I was reached out to by a comedian who I really respect, and he was like, I tried to watch Ma after I saw your tweets about it, and it was really bad. Were you just joking? And I was like, no, I loved watching Ma."
Mm-hmm.
Edebiri's love for Ma matches ours, as you can see in her self-described manifesto above, which I think was just a series of tweets. But I think she deleted her Twitter, so it didn't pop up. When people watch things, there's an air of like watching and critiquing at the same time, or watching and knowing what your takeaway is going to be, Edebiri said. And Ma, you cannot do that. Like, it physically breaks apart that part of your brain. Like, it actually gets into the synapses and dismantles that. You're not allowed to have any sort of critical thought while you watch Ma. That was Ayo Edebiri's quote on this movie.
I love that.
Once you've watched it, though, critical thought is inescapable. Quote, "She had no choice but to do these things because of the treatment she received as a young person," Edebiri said. "Ma is generational trauma," which I think is interesting. I do think that she had choices.
I agree that she did not need to make all these choices.
I identify with the idea that like this was totally, it's again, the sins of the father kind of idea.
Yep.
I don't think she needed to go on a killing spree.
No, I don't.
I don't think she needed to kill Allison Janney.
No, I don't think so.
Allison Janney, Dr. Brooks was not nice to her.
She was not nice to her.
She was a bad boss.
Yeah.
I don't think she deserved to be butchered and killed and thrown in a dog cage.
But I do appreciate, I really appreciate when there's movies that are maybe not seen as these prestige dramas that you can still really appreciate and love. And I love that about this movie.
I love Ma. Ma's a great movie.
Ma is a great movie.
Love Octavia Spencer. I thought that was an interesting perspective that obviously I can't have.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that's all I've got on Ma. I think that's a good way to wrap up. I think that let Ayo Edebiri sell you on Ma if you haven't watched it.
Yeah.
So does Ma make Baby's First Watch List?
Yeah, but not till later.
Not for a while, I would
not
say.
Not for quite a while.
Not for a while. Well, we have to introduce our kids to the oeuvre of Octavia Spencer.
Of course.
For you to really get the punch that Ma packs.
For sure.
You know? If it's just some lady who you don't know, if this is some random lady.
Like, you'll still like it, but, like, because she's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's part of the appeal is that you know her other work.
Yeah. And you should probably watch other horror movies before. You should be familiar with horror tropes before you watch this movie, because it does unpack some of them.
For sure.
And it does lean into some of them.
Yep.
And I thought it was really fun.
Yeah, me too.
It was fun. It's definitely fun to watch, I think, with people.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not super long. It is a little slow at points, but it's building kind of like
Yeah, and the last like half an hour is crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. It went further than I thought it was going to go.
Me too, for sure.
Yeah. So that's Ma.
Yeah.
So we're getting close to our 100th episode in our little break. So This was a good episode. This was a good movie. So I'm glad that next week we're going to be moving on to Toy Story 2.
Yep.
Which is us kind of coming full circle from Toy Story 1, which was the very first episode that we did. Please don't go back and listen to it. The audio is absolutely horrible. But we're going to be doing Toy Story 2 next week, and we hope that you'll join us. Everyone's seen Toy Story 2. You may not have seen Ma. You may not have seen anyone but you. Everyone on Earth has seen Toy Story 2. So if you've made it this far into Ma, please join us next week for Toy Story 2. And in the meantime, please follow us on Instagram at Baby's First Watch List, because we're going to keep you updated during our little break. We're going to get you more involved. We're going to, you know, put up polls, and we're going to tell you what we're going to be doing for our next season in the fall. So thank you for tuning in. Or is that what you call podcast when you listen to a podcast?
I say tune in.
Okay. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for everything so far. We'll see you next week for Toy Story 2.
Okay. Goodbye.
See you later.